Good evening. Evening. Welcome to Concord Church of Christ on our evening service. We also have our regular service on Sunday at 9:25 for our Bible study and 10:30 for our regular service for those who are visiting. Also Wednesday nights, we also have our Bible study Wednesday nights, and that's at 7 o'clock back here. We meet in the building. So thank you so much for being here tonight. We will open up with 167 from your books in front of you. 167 from your books in front of you. Just grab that Hosanna, and we'll be led by a prayer after that. 167, Hosanna.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the high.
God, we thank you so much for every blessing that we have, especially being able to gather together with other saints as we did this morning. And as this morning we came here to study from your word and to remember your son's death, sing songs, and tonight as we open up your word, we pray that from the smallest child here to the oldest one here that we can be ready to learn from your word, and pray that you can open our minds and hearts to make changes in our life to the things that we hear tonight. God, we ask that you be with those who are struggling. There's many, God, who are dealing with physical ailments of this number or friends and family of this number. But we all are very attentive to the Sloan's situation, and please be with Joel and help him, comfort him, give him strength during this time. I pray that you'll be with his family, that they can have strength in a different way to be able to help their to help Joel, and pray that you'll be with each one of us as we continue to pray on their behalf, that we can be diligent in that. Pray that you will be with us throughout this week. God, we thank you for this time that we have to every week to not only praise you, but to come together with other saints, that this may be a way to springboard our week and to let our light shine as we go from this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
At this time, for those who did not take of the Lord's Supper, if you would exit out this doors right here to your left, there's a back classroom to the back on your left. For everyone else, if you could please stand while we sing this song, 753, Farther Along. 753, for you're in the books.
Thank you. evening's scripture reading will be taken from Genesis chapter 25, verse 21 through 34. Genesis chapter 25, verse 21 through 34. And the Bible reads, "Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah his wife conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, 'If all is well, why am I like this?' So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb, two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the other shall serve the younger.' So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, he was like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau. Afterward his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, so his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Please feed me with the same red stew, for I am weary.' Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, 'Sell me your birthright as of this day.' And Esau said, 'Look, I am about to die, so what is this birthright to me?' Then Jacob said, 'Swear to me as of this day.' So she swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright."
Come on up. I would appreciate that. Back when we started this, and that's been a good long while ago, when we started having a second Sunday night being class night, I was very excited about that decision, because I think we get our preaching in and have situations where all listen and somebody talks, but I think it's good for us to get together and have some discussions and talk about the scriptures. And so I'm not excited that Adam's out of town, but excited that I was able to have the opportunity to do this with you tonight. I had Bob Van Cleve come out the door this morning. He said, "Well, your point you left out." I said, "Well, Bob, what is it?" You could hear Bob saying that. But anyway, he said, "You should set an example. That's it. You got to set an example for the children." I said, "That's right. That's right." And I was coming up Popper Tent Road in that Popper Tent Road Baptist Church. I don't know exactly how it goes. I can't ever get things just right. But says, be an example if you're going to give advice. Be an example if you're going to give advice. So I think that's a very important point. It's not just that my children know what I believe, but they know that I live what I believe. And that's a very important thing, and we'll have a hard time having the kind of influence that we should on our families unless we live what we believe. And children see right through us anyway. You know, they might not when they're 5 or 6, but they know. And they might not say anything because they might be respectful in many ways. But they might say something. And they might be wrong, but children know. And examples do go a long way. I thought about that this afternoon, Bob saying that my dad wasn't a Christian, and my mom had sort of a difficult situation at home she became a Christian after I was born, and I guess me being loud drove her to needing some kind of help, but she did turn to the Lord, and yet, you know, that contemporary language version that I read from Proverbs 22:6. Point your kids in the right direction, and when they're old, they won't be lost. You know, that's what Proverbs is trying to do. And we talked about Jesus grew up and he in wisdom, and that is learning, mentally learning and knowing how to use that learning. And stature, he grew up in strength of person. He's a carpenter. They're pretty strong people, you know. And he grew up in pleasure in the sight of God. That's spirituality. You know, he was a child of God. And in man, he understood how to deal with people and be sociable. And in rearing children, we need to bring all that to them, be responsible individuals. Sometimes I see people, well, you know, I taught them the Bible, but did you teach them find their bent? You know, some have looked at Proverbs 22, and that word defined in Hebrew means find the bent of your child. Find how you can help them go. How many people, young people, do you see now that they're out, but they're just lost? They don't know what to do. They have no direction, and they're just floundering around. That happens so many times, and parents need to be careful about that. But when we're raising children, one of the things I was going to point out tonight, I told you we were going to have the Esau principle. And the Esau principle is, don't miss out on long-term blessings for temporary pleasures. How did Esau do that? Why is it the Esau principle? For what? For a bowl of soup. He gave his, why would you, I mean, that's a stupid thing to do. Isn't that stupid? Instant gratification. And what else does it tell you about what he thought about his birthright? Scripture says he despised it. You know, it meant it had no value to him. Now later, surely, oh, you know, these people that don't have direction and do these kinds of things, whether they had right direction or not, but live like Esau was, a profane man, later they regret those things. I mean, you find somebody lost out there, don't know what to do. How they say, well, I wish I could have this together. And it's too late. It's too late. And it was too late for Esau. Say the name again.
The symbol of the world.
Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Always chose earthly pleasure over being followed by God. They were part of Abraham's family.
That's right.
They should have known God, but as you go through the entire scripture, every time the Edomites show up, all they do is choose carnal pleasure over spiritual.
Do you think there's any problem of that in our nation? Do you see that around you anywhere? Do you think that's a temptation for people to put things and pleasure before the Lord? I think it's, and you know what all of us are, is boy, we're just overwhelmed. Aren't we overwhelmed in our society about all the responsibilities? We're just driven to death. And I can still see my mama going to Armor Packing Company at night, going up there in a slave labor environment, I'd call it. But anyway, piecework, packing bacon, putting it in there, ironing that thing shut, you know, doing it manually. Coming home, working, going to the washing machine, and finally she got one that did this, you know, and then ran it through the wringer, and then starched it, and then put it on stretchers and hung it up out on the line. And Birmingham was one of the dirtiest places in the world when I was growing up because it was a steel town. And we lived close to the steel mills. And, you know, just that soot was come every day. And you know what, though? She didn't do a lot of playing. She did a lot of working. But now we have food, and she cooked everything. And sometimes she walked places because she didn't have a car to go to with. And especially on Sundays, my daddy even had taken the car So she wouldn't go to church, but she just took me up as a baby and two children and walked quite a while to go to church. But now we got washing machines. We got everything you can imagine. We can get everywhere quick. But more people stressed out about time today than they are before. Wiki doesn't teach school anymore, but it's no different. I don't think I can come. I got too much going. I heard her tell Haley all that the other day. But we got Facebook, and we got our TV shows, and we got our furniture refinishing. She'll start listing her things. But it's just like, oh, it's just everything. You just can't get it all done. We probably are just overcommitting ourselves to things that we ought to just leave alone and say no to it. That's in black and white there. If you don't understand that, that's in yellow. You got a caution. If you don't understand that, that's in red. Stop and read it. Don't miss out on long-term blessings from temporary pleasures. There's a jar, and you all seen these symbols, and it's got stuff in it and rocks, and they just fall off. I had one this morning where all the stuff had fallen off. But there, you can't get all of it in there. Yes, you can, too. Here's the same one, the same stuff, all of it's in there, and there's more room to add to it. What's the difference in those two things? You put the big stuff in first. And that's just a simple principle of life. You put the big stuff in first. I was talking to John Haley this week, and he's a good friend of the Petties and of us. I've known John all my life. He was an intern to be a orthopedic surgeon in Birmingham when I was a kid. In North Birmingham, he was there in Birmingham, and I've known him all my life. And I've talked to John a lot. I talked to him this week. He called, and he asked about Beverly, and we were talking, and we got to talking about some of these things. And he has quite a few grandchildren. They have grandchildren week, you know, once a year, and all the kids come. He says he starts out every morning, all the kids, first thing, out to the dock at the pond out there back of his house. And he says it's always golf balls in the jar. And it's about how you get all this stuff in the jar. You put the big stuff in first. Guess what his first golf ball is? God. That's right. You put God in there first. You put God there first. He's the foundation. He's the rock. And you can talk about Jesus, the Spirit. Everything there is about God, you put God first. Guess what he tells those grandchildren the second golf ball is? Who you marry. You know, I was trying to talk about that this morning, about how important it is to choose the right person. So he's telling them every morning for a week, he's saying the second golf ball there about you getting the right decision, getting to heaven, is marrying the right person, help you get to heaven. And I'm sure family and, you know, you can name the big rocks. You could put big rocks that are important in your life, can't you? And a lot of that would be learning how to grow in wisdom and grow in stature and grow in favor with God and man. Those kinds of things are things that really matter. Now, if you put the rocks in and then all this fluff, which is good, sand. Does people like sand? Who likes the beach here? Ooh, down for me, but up for me. I know Don can't wait. They're going to Mexico. Where is that Mexico y'all going Tuesday? Huh? Cancun. I've never been to Cancun. Do they have coons in a can? I don't know. But anyway, I've seen raccoons here, you know. I guess that's where you go there. I don't know. I've never been there. No, I know more about Cancun. I've never been there, though. But anyway, he can't wait. This is an Arizona boy here. He can't wait to go get some heat. Oh, he loves that. He just shivers in the wintertime. Well, that's great. That's great to go to Cancun. He and Becky are going to Cancun. That's a wonderful thing. And you could talk about going to the mountains. Now, some of us say we'd like to go to the mountains. Maybe there'd be more hands saying we like the mountains. But, you know, my wife, my problem is I just like where I am all the time. She says, I just didn't know this about you when I married you. And I just like where I am all the time. But anyway, here is you put the rocks in first, and then you pour all the other things in. Cancun, round the golf, watch a ball game, go out to a picnic. You just name the things we enjoy doing. Check your folks on Facebook. Whatever. Innocent things that can be good in themselves. But when are those things not good for us? When you look at that first jar, that's when it's not. You got to make sure that this is the jar you have right here. Larry said something good in class today. Well, I heard something. I'm kidding. What did he say? And this was good. What did he say about working and making money? About us getting that money? Take it out of the world. You're working hard. You're taking that money out of the world. Why did he say that's a good... Okay, first of all, who did he say... He asked us who's the ruler of the world, the power, the prince of the air? Satan. So he says, you're taking that money out of the world... And now what are you to do with it? Give it to God. He said, that's a wonderful thing about working and making money is you can take money out of the world and give it to God. I thought that was because these passages you're using is from Ephesians 2 and verse 10 that we are God's masterpiece. And he created us for good works. And he created us with a spirit of working and working hard. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands that he may have something to give to the person who is in need. That's what the Lord says. So that better be a big rock in there, hadn't it? Instead of we getting all we want, we understand that we're getting this to take care of ourselves, but it's so that we might... Is that what God wants us to do with the stuff? Is that what... Who'd you say? The Edomites, they're the ones... They just wanted to for pleasure. How many times is it all about our pleasure? It's our wish lists. Y'all don't like me pausing there, do you? Keep on talking. Keep on. Yeah. And, you know, I know everybody can't do that. There are poor people in the world. I mean, that's just the truth. There are people in need. Now, they can do something. My mother never had a lot of money. But I'm going to tell you something. There was something in our freezer all the time, and it was a little bitty freezer. Ice cubes and something to carry to a person that was sick. All the time. She hear about something, it got there. She never said not much. She never did much. And, you know, I'm sure whatever, I don't know what it was, but Mom was a good cook. And it probably wasn't, although Daddy worked at Armor Packing Company for a while. She might have had meat in there. You know, he might have brought home meat that wasn't cut right or something. I don't know. But what we've got to do is make sure that we know that we're not to miss out on long-term blessing for temporary pleasures. Okay. Worldliness. What we've been saying is, if the world and its pleasures take our first interest, have we got the wrong thing in the jar? Okay, let's read this. Matthew 16, 24 to 26. Dave, you got that? I think he was just going to do his glasses, but I called that raising his hand. John, 1 John 2:15 to 17. Anthony's going to get that. Okay, Dave, you got that one? First one.
Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what will a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?"
Isn't that saying that?
Deny yourself. You know, if we say self-denial, you know what that usually means? We're on a diet. that's about as deep as it gets in the United States. I'm practicing self-denial. I'm on a diet. It's practicing self-denial to the sense of you're putting some big rocks in your life in service to others. You're denying yourself to follow Jesus. That's how you overcome the world. You're active in the kingdom. You're active in following Christ. You're active in helping others. Okay, Anthony, you raised your hand on the second one.
1 John 2:15 through 17. Do not love the world, nor the things up in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, it's not from the Father, but it is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever.
Don't love this world or the things in the world. Don't ever let the things of this world. I'll tell you what. There's a lot of reasons for people not to be here tonight. But you know what a lot of people... A lot of reasons are their pleasure, their own interest. That just doesn't cut it. That just doesn't cut these passages, does it? It just doesn't. And that's just, we're talking about bare minimal things. That I love to be here just because I love to be here. I love to be with everybody. it should be a selfish thing. That's a good thing. That Lord think, well, boy, I jealously want to be with the people of God and see and say hello to them and talk about the Lord. And it's just a refreshing moment of life. And that's all right to be that kind. That's not worldly. But I'll tell you, Wiki said this the other night going home. She's going home. She said, boy, I had a little headache or something. And we neither one of us have headaches like. I can't imagine what migraines are like. But she didn't feel good or something. She says, you know, I really didn't feel like going to church tonight. And I thought that thought ran through her mind. She said, but you know, I just feel good now. And that's what it'll do for you. Sometimes when you think, boy, I don't feel like being there, that's the best thing you could do is go there. That's happened to me many times. Has it ever happened to y'all? I mean, it has, doesn't it? But it always makes you feel better. And it's the right thing to do. Yeah, it's like you had a plan, isn't it? It's the right thing to do. And I just can't imagine. So don't let the things of the world, and that could be the pleasures of life, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. And all that involves other things of the world. Don't let that, this is the big rock. Don't get that out of there. Don't let that be there. Sexual misconduct. Boy, that's a big rock that can't be in there. It just can't be there. But now what the problem is, all these are temporary pleasures that we're talking about here. See, you can't miss out on the long-term blessings for temporary pleasures. Everybody knows about 2 Samuel 11, probably. If you're thinking about marital misconduct and I say 2 Samuel, what do you think we're talking about? David. Whether you know that's the chapter or not, you probably know that's it. Was David a man that is described in the Bible as a good man? Folks, can you imagine God describing, could you be any happier about any description you could think of that God would say about you that would be better than saying, you know, Bobby Smith is a man after my own heart? Can you think of any better description you would like the Lord to say about you? I really can't think of anything better than that. But did he get his life messed up? He sure did. And he put a big old rock in the bottom of that his jar that took all. And then that meant, you remember, the big things started falling out. He was losing his eternal blessings. And he was there. David, one thing we find out there, David needed to repent. And he needed his salvation restored. Because he asked, restore my salvation. The joy of my salvation is exactly what it says. Well, let me tell you about what's happening in America. Everything is being sold and produced and marketed by sex appeal. And you know what? We're trying to look as sexy as we can. That's why I got on this little checkered shirt. You should have said me. But anyway, but I'm just saying, I just tell you, I saw this commercial. Looking at TV yesterday. I don't know if y'all, you don't look at it if you say, but it just, you look at it like, what in the world? It's a woman on a swing, dressed very little, speaking Italian, very sexily. Clark's Bar. Say, and all it says in the end is something about Clark's candy bar. I thought, what? What? That just exemplifies what people are. But I'll tell you what, I remember Clark's candy bar just like that. I didn't have any. I mean, they know what they're doing. That's how everything's being produced. But you know what? We sort of want that. Well, I tell you what. You all know my wife lost a lot of weight. It's because she had surgery, you know. But anyway. I didn't need to say that. But let me tell you this, though. She never tried to hide that. We have looked at photo albums. And I say, Wiki, look at this. And I looked at her, and I never remember her looking big. I said, I never remember you looking like that. You know, it's like a different person sort of looking at her now. But the point is, I didn't see my wife as fat and ugly or anything when she had. I mean, I don't remember her looking like that. And other people have said that too. Other people have told her, you know, I was looking at some pictures we had. I never knew you looked like that. It's because of what you see in her. That's the value. And I honestly don't remember. Now, that doesn't mean that I hadn't thought, well, Wiki and I need to lose weight. And I still think I do. See, here's the point. But anyway, my doctor says if I gain 50 more pounds, I can have the surgery. But but I don't think I'm going to do it. I mean, I'm in between the twits. He said, you need to lose 50 or gain 50. And I told him, well, I'll try. But I'm not going to try it again. But anyway, sexual things are good. And people have been in the first month of our class for the men, and I told y'all, I was kidding about Micah liking that Song of Solomon. You know, he had a lot of things to say about the Song of Solomon. But anyway, sex is a good thing, but it's a good thing in marriage. There's the point. the marriage bed is undefiled. It says, good night, I'm having so much fun, we're getting lying. There's another thing, momentary pleasures that have cost you long-term blessings. I'm saying things here that just can destroy family and marriage. That's what I'm trying to point at, these things. Lying. What happened to Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5? They lied and they dropped dead. I want to tell you, that is a shocking passage in the New Testament. It is shocking that that's there. It does not fit any of the rest of the New Testament, none of it. Because it's about grace. It's about salvation. It's about love. And God is love. And I'll tell you why I believe that story is there. It's because God is still the righteous God that demands his people to seek holiness. Don't come out saying now that we have a different God. We don't have a different God. But we have a God that now saves us in Christ Jesus, that he has a plan that was not some of what we have and we should benefit from. But lying is one of the worst things you can imagine. And nothing hurts family more than lying. Does God like? Somebody get Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Looks like Sandra's about to get it. Uh-oh. They're stuck together. You got 16 through 19.
Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren.
Woo. So, you know what sowing discord among brethren usually happens to? Lying. You learn a half-truth and you start talking instead of going to the person. God hates that stuff. And churches get eat up with that stuff. And people believe it, and then they share it with another brother, and now some church over there is calling somebody over here saying, what about, it's just amazing. God hates lying. Nothing hurts a relationship like lying. You can't trust a liar. If they'll tell you one lie, why do you think, if you're in court, and you're as a witness, but now they prove you've lied something, what does that mean to the rest of your testimony? It's done. It's thrown out. Because once a person will lie, then you can't know if they're telling the truth. My problem in life is I just tell what I think the truth is too plainly sometimes. You know, I need to, what I am is what you see is what you get with me. A lot of people aren't that way. But what you see is what you get with me. And it's just Jack Petty was what you see is what you get with him, you know. That's the way some people are, and then some people aren't that way. And then some people will just give wrong impressions or say things, because why do you lie? Temporary pleasure. Get what you want. Do be disappointed. We've had people in our families who caused problems in their families because they lied, because if they told the truth, the people would be disappointed. But it ends up, it's just a catastrophe when it falls in. But they let the catastrophe happen because they didn't want momentary displeasure. This line is such a, and it's discord among brethren and lying, the proud look. All of that brings about lying. Don't lie. Speak the truth with each other. You can't build a good home on anything but the truth. Now, you must speak the truth in love. There are times when you don't speak because speaking what you think's true right now is not going to help the situation. You need to say, well, now's not the time for me to say that. You know, I need to wait till time when it's a better moment when I could edify. There's a lot of reasons you might not say something, but don't indicate something that's wrong either by your actions or words. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's right. He's looking up something. So if you're going to have this home improvement, you got to get away from the world and its pleasure. You can't have that. Now, you can have some pleasure, but don't let world be a rock in your bottom. You can't let a straying eye. And, oh, I got to tell you this. The Internet is the worst. The Internet, and I love it. It's the most useful thing I've ever found. I don't have any questions anymore. I got Google. I mean, it's just wonderful. We're riding along, and I want to, what's that? You know, all the time. I just want to know what it means. I told y'all when I went to Texas A&M to hold a meeting out there at College Station, first thing I saw was Kyle Field. Why is this called Kyle Field? Nobody knew. I Googled it. I knew immediately. They'd been living there for years. Didn't know why it's called Kyle Field. It's just wonderful information. But 70% of the online stuff that comes is pornography. And you must not be on it. And you must not let your children have access to it. They must not have a computer in their room. They must not have TV in their room. You have your computer in a central place where all of you can look at it. And then, you know, I thought the other day, so proud. I got me this, I got it off of Craigslist, but I got me another computer. So proud of that thing, got it all set up, you know. Sold my other one. I went from my Apple computer I had to a much bigger, three times a hard drive and everything else for $200. Because I sold mine for $400 and bought the other for $600. I thought, wow. And I thought, man, this is great. And people were talking about all this stuff. And I said, you know, I don't ever get any kind of emails or anything. Nothing ever. I'm protected, you know. And then one day I said, well, I ain't got that email. I said, well, maybe you better check your spam folder. Spam. I just look at trash and stuff like that, but I hadn't looked at it. I looked at that spam, and it was awful, the things that was in there. I don't know what all it was, but I just read some of it, just the title. I thought, what is this? I just erased it all. I don't want to see what it is, because they say if you open stuff, that's when they get into your stuff anyway. I don't want to open it. But it's just, I'm saying, how do you protect yourself from it fully? And all the devil wants you to do is just look. David, just look. Just be down. Just be having a little argument. Something going on. And all of a sudden, just look. And all of a sudden, there's Bathsheba out there on the top of the... Oh, man. You can just hit this button and you can talk to Bathsheba. You know, whatever. I don't know what all goes online, but it's a lot of stuff. And let me tell you, that's a destroyer of marriages. You better watch that. You better watch that. And I mean watch it. And remember, K9 is the free filter for computers. And, of course, Be Safe and others are that you can use on your computers to get those things out of there. Be careful. Anger. Ooh, I got to hurry. What about anger? Somebody read Ephesians 4. Be angry, but sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Let me just tell you what that says. Be angry, but sin not. Everybody's going to get angry. But you don't have to sin. And you got to get past it. If you boil in your anger, you're going to die. You're going to be like a frog. You don't realize the water is getting hot in that pot you're in. And finally, it's going to get so hot and it's going to boil so much, you're going to die. And then the whole relationship, everything dies. When you die, the relationship dies. I mean, that's what happened. Be angry, but sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. And I've told you before, I try to live by that. And sometimes it's hard. And, you know, I've told Wiki, we got to settle this right now. She says, I'm not ready right now. Well, she just means just let her settle back a minute. Take a breath, you know. But I don't know when that's been. That's not something that happens in our life normally. But that has happened. It has happened to us. And I understand that. But we need to get that stuff out of us. And not be angry and not sin and get over it and start doing the right things. Okay, who's got, okay, Don, 15:1, 18?
Yeah, one of my favorite verses.
Okay.
A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger.
Verse 18.
A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger pacifies contention.
If you got a hot temper, you better get it under control. I get all that out on coaching football. 1632. If you can't rule your spirit, that's just you. 1911. Good sense. I like that. Just slow down. Can you overlook something? Love covers the multitude of sin. You know, some people, they just aren't where they ought to be right now to deal with it. Just love them and let them grow some. We don't have to straighten out everything. If you think you've got to straighten out everything, God help you. You're going to destroy yourself. Go ahead, Don. And my wife helps me. She has an easier time with doing this. Now, sometimes she can be a policeman. After she got to be a teacher, it amazed me, you know, be at school, ball game or something, back when people, she used to try to smoke or something, sneak in one by the fence. She'd go over, you can't do that right now, you know. But she did it gently. But she'll always tell me, Tommy, you know, I want to straighten people out on the phone. I hate that waiting on the phone for hours, you know. And I've been here, Tommy. That person might not ever meet anybody that claims to be a Christian but you. Says, what are they going to think in how you talked? And you know, that's a perfect stranger. And we think, but what about our children? What about our mates? What about our brethren? Okay, words. We got to let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. What does that mean? But that which is good for edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. Now listen to this now. Let no, what does the word no mean? Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. Now, is that a command or a suggestion? We'd rather talk about how many times you take the Lord's Supper or how you sing and all that stuff. We'd rather argue that and not talk about this verse. I mean, that's just how religion is. Let's talk about what we think you're weak on, not what I'm weak on. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. Well, how do you know? Well, you make sure that it is good for the use of edify. What does that mean? Building up. And that it ministers. That verse haunts me all my life. One time in Montgomery, I said, you know, I'm going to do this. Every day, every time before I preached, I put that verse up there. And I told them I wanted to be accountable. I said, I'm going to put this verse up here every Sunday until I come back next Sunday and said, I did it. Finally, I said, brethren, I'm taking it down. I'm a failure. I'm afraid I don't want you all to be reminded that I have found sometime during the week that I said something not to build up and minister grace. And I told you about the time that I came in my little talking, getting everything straight, and Wiki said, "Tommy, that did not minister grace to my ears." You can't argue with God's word. You know, I didn't say, wait, you know what? I went outside and cried. I went outside, I mean, tears were in my eyes. The word of God is sharp. I didn't mean for it to minister grace. Yes, Doc.
And in that verse 29, there's a phrase in there that shows the urgency of doing this, not laying on the host of work, receiving in mouth. It says, according to
that's right. Need of the moment. You just write that. You think about, you know, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Just about straighten out most things. If you was that person, how would you want to be talked to? Don't tell my football players this, okay? I believe John's mother did too. I've never heard him say anything but nice things. Have you? Oh, he can't put the verse up either, can he? Okay. Oh, me. Derek, you got good eyes. Read that. You know the verse. You know, just put the right things, and every day's got enough trouble. That's why I don't watch news much anymore. I can't handle all the stuff in the world. I don't know how to solve it. I do look at headlines, but I put that in green because this is the green light. I've had black, red, yellow. This is the green light here. You put that in the bottom and you'll be all right. You'll have all that time left over and you'll be able to do good and you'll be able to bless your neighbor. Okay, let's close with a word of prayer and get our children and feed them some gummy bears. Father in heaven, we thank you for the day, and we thank you that we've been able to come together and talk about things that would be putting priorities in our lives that are the basis and foundation of character and the kind of life you want us to live. And as we anchor ourselves with your kingdom and your rule and your righteousness, then all these other things will be added in the way you want them. And your name will be glorified and people will be helped. Help us go out from this place now and do these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.